Well, good morning. Oh, let me do it again now. Good morning. I am really glad you're here. Welcome to Easter weekend. This is the third of three identical services. I mean, dare I say we saved the best for last? Would you agree with that? Saved the best for last. Of course we did. Of course we did. You are a part of a growing community that meets every week right here. We love each other. We serve our city and county, and we are in love with Jesus. And that's so important to say. The central part of Christianity is Christ. But it's a part of this story that you really need to understand. See, we don't just celebrate and gather week to week because Christ just existed. And there's more proof that Jesus existed than many other historical figures in the world. Like you might not know, there is more documentation about the life of Christ than, let's say, Socrates. Like to believe Socrates existed, then you need to 10x that in your belief that Jesus existed. But it's not just his existence that brings us here today. And it's not whether he was influential. I mean, we're not going to debate that. Was Jesus influential? Here we are 2,000 years ago, still celebrating this man, Jesus. We'd have to conclude that we're captivated by his life and that his influence continues. But it's not just his existence and it's not just his influence that's central to our faith. It's the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Because let's be honest. Anybody who says, I'm going to raise from the dead, and then they do, we should pay attention to what they say. Would you agree with that? Like, yeah, we should probably listen to that guy, give him some authority, some leadership in our life. We're Christians because of the resurrection. We're Christians because of what the resurrection did. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God as an example, and to come back to life, I'd say he proved that. Jesus said he was going to forgive our sins, but if he had stayed dead, well, then he's just another dead rabbi. What good did he do for the world? But he died with our sin, left them buried. He rose again. We're forgiven. We have confidence because of that. See, if we didn't have the resurrection, there's not enough to the story that would bring us together 2,000 years later. I mean, the Bible says, if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. But the fact that Jesus did raise from the dead, our sins are forgiven. He is the Son of God. We gather to celebrate that, but there's more than that. There's more than that. Have you ever considered that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is a power that is accessible to you in your daily life? Have you ever considered that? That's what we're going to talk about today. I mean, I'm not so sure that most Christians live as if they have that kind of power available to them. I'm not so sure that most of us face problems with the confidence that that kind of power is available to us. I'm not so sure that we show up or speak up or rise up to our potential because we don't yet believe we have that kind of power. I mean, what would your life look like if you really leaned into, I've got the same power in me that Jesus had in him? I would not advocate that you become arrogant, but I would advocate that you become confident. But I'm not really sure that our belief has risen to the level in order to access that kind of power. Check this out. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, look where he is. Look where the Spirit with all this power lives. He lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he'll give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit. Look again, living in you. Now we're going to talk about this power. We're going to talk about how to access this power. We're going to talk about how your life can be changed forever by this power. But I do need to give a little disclaimer here. Even if we didn't have this power available right now to help us with our problems, help us in our relationships, help us as we go through life, help us achieve our highest and best God-given potential. Even if we didn't have that power, like if all the resurrection of Jesus from the dead provided was proof that he's the Son of God, if that's all it did, if all it did was provide forgiveness for our sins, because he demonstrated power over sin and death and the grave, if that's all it did, if all the resurrection did was provide a promise that one day we too will be in heaven, that would be all we need to love Jesus, worship Jesus, serve Jesus all the days of our life. Would you agree with that? That would be enough. How many of you agree with that? Be more than we deserve. It would be amazing grace. If that's all the resurrection did, it would be enough to give your life to Christ. But that's not all it did. Here's the proposition I want us to consider today. What if the resurrection offers more? What if there's more? We were just told that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside all followers of Jesus. Like, what does that even mean? What more could be available to us that we haven't yet tapped or accessed or have believed is even possible in our life? Like, what I want to do is stir things up a little bit in your thinking, in your heart. I want to knock some Christians out of their complacency. I want to knock some of your faith out of a very casual conformity. I want to crush the kind of life lived only for the status quo, only for the safe, only for the predictable. Today, I want to hold out for you a greater vision for your life, a greater version of your life, beyond what you're living, beyond what you've experienced, beyond what you've probably ever imagined. And the way for you to access this same power of God, this more than you can imagine power of God, is for you to learn to believe God for more. All I have to do to get more from God is to believe him for more. Let me say it this way. You will only receive from God according to your belief. God will give you up to the level of your belief. Your blessings will be capped by your belief. I want to dig into this, but I've got to set it up with some building blocks. Like, we got to start slow and then we'll accelerate as we go on. I want to talk about this possible power that is available to you. But first, I want you to try to grasp what kind of power it actually took to reanimate a dead corpse. Let's just start with the power itself. What kind of power is that? I mean, you'd have to agree. The kind of power necessary to reanimate a dead corpse is an earth-shaking power. I mean, so far, we're pretty scientifically sophisticated. We can't duplicate that. The mind can barely grasp it. And yet, if you follow the life of Jesus, it's something he routinely did. Last weekend, we read the story of Jesus raising a little 12-year-old girl back from the dead. There's another account. It was witnessed by tons of eyewitnesses. Jesus rose one of his best friends, Lazarus, whose body had already started to decompose. He'd been buried 4 days, yet Jesus called his name. Boom, Lazarus came out of the grave. Jesus raised him from the dead. Like, this is just something Jesus did. This is like a Tuesday. This is like a normal day. It's like if there was a funeral, Jesus was going to interrupt it with a resurrection. Are you following me? And it happened in his own life. Can you even comprehend the power? Can you comprehend something so dynamic? Like this energy beyond nuclear fusion, beyond the highest measurable frequency, a surge of life so strong that when it touched a corpse, the corpse had to come back to life. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power. So we can agree, I hope, that the power used to raise the dead is a powerful power. It's a powerful power. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's a powerful power. It's a powerful power. Now, the verse we read just a minute ago said the Spirit of God that has this power is inside followers of Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, here's what I propose. The power that raised Jesus from the dead that actually accompanied the whole life and miracle-working ministry of Jesus, that culminated in raising him from the dead is available on a daily basis to transform the way we live our lives, to empower us to live at a level beyond what is humanly possible. Don't get weird on me, Pastor. Too late for that. Who thinks it'd be a game changer? Now, I need to see some hands. Who thinks it'd be a game changer if you accessed this same kind of power in your life? Game changer. I mean, what would change in the dynamic of your relationships if you lived with the power of God? What would change in the strength of your confidence as you walk through your life, or the peace that you lived with as you faced your problems? Here's a verse in the Christian scriptures. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing." Think of all the works Jesus did. But Jesus said, "You'll do even greater than these." How can we be greater than Jesus? How can we be greater than Jesus? Well, Jesus only had 3 years to do what he did on earth. Most of us have more than 3 years to do for Jesus. To a greater degree, for a greater duration. Think of the great teachings of Jesus. Could it even get into your mind that God could speak through you in a greater way? Think of the great achievements of Jesus. Could you even fathom that you could achieve more than that in your life in greater ways? Impacting culture in greater ways. Changing lives in greater ways. Being a conduit of God's power to be on display in your life in greater ways. Having miracles happen with regularity in greater ways. I mean, instead of the life you're living, what if you could start living with a higher energetic plane, a higher level of spiritual power than you've ever experienced before? And what if this power has been available to you all along? You just didn't know how to access it. It's there all along. You just didn't know how to access it, how to turn it on, how to make it active. There's an incident in the ministry of Jesus that sheds some light on this, like how we can access this resurrection power. Jesus was ministering to people, and he was going town to town, and he was healing people, and he was teaching, and two blind men came up to Jesus, and they asked him to heal them. They knew he had power they needed. They needed to learn how to access his power so they could see. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And they said, "Yes, we believe." And Jesus said, "According to your faith, to the level of your faith, I'm going to do this for you." And they believed enough to have their blindness healed. Don't miss this. There was a power that was available that could be dispensed to these two men. And thank God they had enough belief to access that level of power. See, your miracle will be matched to your belief. God's blessings will correspond and be in proportion to your belief. I mean, I have to ask you, what if the very issue standing between you and living with the dynamic power that actually raised Jesus from the dead could be unlocked and unleashed simply by you believing God for more? According to your faith, Jesus said, "I'll do it for you." You believe for more, boom, more power available in your life. Jesus said, "You get to choose." Not according to your uncle's belief, not according to your parents' belief, not according to the faith of your children, according to your belief, and you get to peg that where you want that. See, here's a truth that I think is undertaught in the church today. You get to choose how much you believe God for. You want more of God's presence in your life? Believe him for more. You want more of God's wisdom in your life? Believe him for more. You want more resurrection power, changing the trajectory and destiny of your life? Believe him for more. He will do it unto you according to your faith. Let me give you a couple small steps to get started. Nothing too hard. Ask him to increase your faith. Ask him to increase your faith. Just ask him. Did you know you can actually pray for more faith? Did you know that? Like you can say, here's my faith, God, but I want it here because I want more of your power. So it's here, I want it here. God, increase my faith. You can pray for more faith. Give you an illustration of this. A man came to Jesus who needed a miracle. He needed Jesus to release some of that power. This man needed resurrection power put onto his circumstance. And Jesus asked him the same question he asked the two blind men. Do you believe? And I love what this guy said. I believe, but then look at his prayer. Help my unbelief. I believe to hear, but I have some unbelief. Will you take it to there? You can pray to believe more. Some of you are struggling in a marriage that's not growing, not healthy, and you've concluded it's a marriage problem. What if it was a faith problem? What if you only believe God could work in the marriage you have at the level it is? Only God can just keep it here. Maybe he'd just make it, you know, degrees better. What if you believed he could change your marriage? Ask him for more. How about that career you feel stuck in? You feel incompetent to raise to another level in the company. Maybe it's not a competence issue. Maybe you only believe God to the level you are, and that's what's capping your potential. That's what's capping your influence and your success. What if you shifted to believe God for more in your life, more power in your life, how that might change the trajectory of your life? Have you ever stood before the God of heaven and said, God, please give me more? More faith, more belief, more ability to trust you. During my 4 years in college, I was in 12 major theatrical productions. Most of those were musicals. All of the video has been destroyed. I was in the musical Oliver, about a young boy thrown into a pack of pickpockets led by a very slippery, nefarious character named Fagin. I played Fagin. In one scene, hungry little Oliver doesn't have enough food. He comes with his empty bowl to Fagin, and he says, please, sir, may I have some more? And Fagin sings his response, which I'm not going to do. But in the lyric of his response, he says, Oliver, Oliver, never before has a boy wanted more. And maybe that's your problem. Maybe you've never wanted more. Maybe you've never asked for more. Maybe you've never believed in a God who wants to give you more. And so you stand there with your empty bowl and you conclude, this is my life. No, it's not. Because you can pray, God, give me more. God, give me more. If you want more of God's power active in your life, ask for more belief. Second small step. Start with the small faith you have. Let it grow. Start small until your faith grows. On one occasion, Jesus wanted his disciples, he wanted his immediate followers to understand just how much power was accessible to them, the level of life that was possible for them. And Jesus said, here's where you start. He said, you start with faith the size of a mustard seed. What you need to understand about the mustard seed, at that time in history, it was the smallest known seed on the planet. And Jesus said, this seemingly insignificant, this easily overlooked size of seed will grow to a proportion almost like a forest if allowed to grow. But Jesus says it starts small, and that small little amount of faith, Jesus said, can move mountains. We tend to overlook the small. We tend to underestimate the small. But what would happen in your life if you just started exercising the small? A lot of small things became big given time. Clara was overlooked. Clara was underestimated. Born in 1821, Clara was the youngest of five. You know what it meant to be the youngest of five? They didn't even know she was there. Those of you who have three children, you understand this. First child gets all your attention. It's two on one. Pacifier drops. You burn the house down. You go and you buy 10 more clean ones. Not going to put a dirty pacifier in my baby's mouth. Second child comes along, drops the pacifier. You wipe it on your pant leg. It's going to be okay, baby. Stick that right back in. Third child comes along. Yeah, I don't even know if we have pacifiers. Here, put that stick in your mouth. That's fine. Stop crying. We're not taking any pictures of you either. I mean, that's what's going to happen to the third baby. Clara was the baby of five. You understand. She was the least. Nothing noticeable about Clara. Then she became a school teacher. Noble profession. But also a profession where you can blend right in. But then she became a volunteer during the Civil War, providing care and supplies to soldiers in battle. And she saw the need for soldiers to have resource and supply right in the middle of battle. And so Clara Barton founded the Red Cross. And she led that organization for 23 years. Don't you dare underestimate small beginnings. Because the small in you can become dynamic and massive. What if you took that small faith, you started right where you were, and you said, God, grow this small faith. What if you decided to take that small faith and you take a big step in a bigger way to serve God and His kingdom in this world? How much of the nuclear power that raised Jesus from the dead could color and empower and shape your future and impact the course of your family's legacy and increase your contribution on the planet if you just took what you had and you started there and you prayed, God, would you grow my faith? Here's what I know. Everything will change for you when you choose to believe God for more. Everything will change for you. What if you could unleash the power to elevate your marriage? Would that be interesting to you? What if you could use that power as you parent your child? Would that mean something to you? What if that power was available to help you scale your business? What I'm saying is this power is accessible and it's based on your belief and it's power unlike anything else on earth. And Jesus said, that power is inside you. I've got to ask you, are you living a life approaching anything like the fullness of the power of God in you? Is your life approaching anything, getting anywhere near the supernatural? Anything that might resemble resurrection power? Here's what we're promised. Greater is He who's in you than he who is in the world. Or this famous one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can your belief rise to take that in? To incorporate that into your mindset, into your identity, into your belief structure? Let me blow your mind even more. For His Spirit, the one that's got all the power, joins with our spirit to affirm we're children of God, God's children. He proves we're God's children. And I love this part. And since we are His children, look, it's talking about Jesus now. We're heirs with Jesus. One translation says equal heirs with Jesus, which means everything God made available to Jesus, all the power, all the privilege, all the access of Jesus, He gives you an equal share. Or as the Apostle Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When's the last time you lived a little glory, believed for a little glory, experienced anything like glory in your life? If it's been a while or never, you are living below your privilege. You're living below your access. You're living below your authority. You're living below your abundance. You're living below the blessings God has for you if you would just learn to believe God for more. I've got to use our remaining time to give you just a quick glimpse of what it's like to surrender your life to Jesus and his leadership and the power that he makes available to you. And I need you to play. I need you to engage right now. So read this out loud with me, will you please? When I believe God for more, I will believe in myself. Got to take you back to last weekend. I told a pivotal story where Jesus is ministering, he's teaching, he's exhausted. The crowds want something from him. Everybody is sick. He'd been traveling. Everybody was pulling at him for something. And if you're here last weekend, this is review. If you weren't here last weekend, this is new. There's a woman in that crowd. She's been sick. She's been bleeding nonstop for 12 years. Has to be anemic now, frail. She's likely crawling. Big crowd pressing around Jesus. She's not strong enough to get through, but she reaches between legs and she touches the bottom of his robe. It's called the hem of his garment. And she's healed. Now, Jesus felt the power. The Bible says he felt the power go out from him. Now, he could have thought, well, one more person needing something from me. One more person getting something from me. Not how the story goes. Jesus asked a question. He says, who touched me? Now, people are afraid by that question. This woman was certainly afraid. You need to understand. She thought she had broken some societal norm, some protocol, that she'd crossed a cultural line. See, women weren't allowed to touch men in that culture. And a woman who's bleeding wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. So when Jesus says, who touched me? She's afraid. I want you to feel her fear. The crowd gets quiet. Everybody's looking around. Who is this person that touched Jesus? Even Jesus is looking around. He wanted to see who'd done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith made you well. You need to see that whole last sentence. Her faith. She believed for her healing. And she received her healing. Her belief unlocked another level of blessing. I got to tell you this. If you ever find yourself hanging on by a thread, make sure it's the hem of his garment. It's a good place to be. But there's a huge word in this story we can't miss. Jesus said, daughter, here's where I need you to dig deep. You got to imagine this woman starting her day with fear. Will I even get through the crowd? And then being called out by Jesus, who touched me? She goes through her day with fear. See, she's a second-class citizen in a male-dominated world. She's an outcast because of her sickness. But on that day, everything changed with a word. Her belief made healing possible, but when Jesus said, daughter, he made a whole other level of life possible. What was that moment like? Maybe the crowd started whispering, are they related? We didn't know. Here's what we do know. Something had to happen inside that woman. Something had to transform inside that woman. Her identity. I mean, her mind, can you imagine? Her mind had to reel. Jesus just gave me status. Jesus just included me in his family. Jesus just gave me value and worth. Can you imagine all of that? She started her day as an outcast. She went the rest of her life understanding she's a daughter of God Most High. And here's what's cool. She'd always been a daughter, but she didn't access that. She didn't come to understand that until she believed. That's when she stepped into her identity. It was after she exercised her faith, she stepped into the authority and the abundance that God always had waiting for her. And that's when you'll step in to yours. Can you imagine her confidence after that? I mean, think of this woman, weak, anemic, crawling, ashamed to be seen, not supposed to be there. But her confidence after that, every time she walked into a room, yeah, I'm God's girl. You might know my dad. Not arrogance, confidence. And if she ever got sick again, there's not fear there because she's confident. And finances ever got hard, she's not fearful anymore, she's confident. And every time she prayed, don't you know her prayers were different? Because now she's talking to Dad. Just imagine the change in what she believed was now possible for her life, for her future, because she now understands who she is. Child of God, and the privilege and the status and the power that goes with knowing who your father is. And that happens for you, I'm telling you, everything will change. Very famous keynote speaker was asked to speak at this very posh, sophisticated event. I'm even going to say snooty. Hundreds of people were in the room, all black tie, all formal. All the important people clamored for an invitation. To be seen there meant you were someone. This was an important night. And when this important man stood to speak, a commotion broke out in the front of the room, and every head turned to see a little girl break free from her mother's lap, run to the edge of the stage, and throw her arms up to the speaker. And breaking all decorum, the speaker reached down and hoisted that little girl up on the stage. And a socialite gasped, and everybody heard her say, "How dare she interrupt?" To which another woman seated nearby said, "Well, that man is her father. And a child who is loved by her father is never an interruption." That's how we go to God. When I believe God for more, I believe in myself more. Let's say it. When I believe God for more, I believe in my... You not only step into your identity as his child, you step into courage. You'll fundamentally live your life differently once you believe him for more. Your faith won't be average, it'll be extraordinary. Your faith won't be normal, it'll be abnormal. It won't be natural, it'll be supernatural. I think it's time for our world to see a little more extraordinary, abnormal, supernatural faith. How about you? What would change about how you show up, how you speak up, how you rise up to your fullest potential once you start believing God for more? When I believe God for more, I will attempt more. Warmer weather is coming. Dear God, let that be true. Warmer weather is coming. To cold, frigid Southern California. But all over this country in warm weather, thousands of children will line up on the edges of swimming pools. These are kids who had never once learned to swim, and they'll be standing there, and they'll all have somebody in the water in front of them, probably a parent with arms upstretched, saying to their child, "Jump, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it." And then the parent makes a promise, "I will catch you. I'll catch you." And by the thousands, kids are going to splash into that water. They're going to attempt something great. They're going to do something above their skill level because they have a parent who is there that they can trust, and they expect that parent to catch them. When I was a kid, in the church I grew up in, where my dad was a pastor, we had a sign on the wall, and it said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Listen, when you believe God, you will take leaps of faith. You'll attempt things you've never attempted before. This is why when I coach people to double down on their dreams. Say, "Tell me what you're dreaming about," and they'll describe it, and then I'll say, "Double it. Tell me what you want to accomplish with your life," and they'll tell me, and I'll say, "Double it." I'll ask them, "What is your big audacious goal that you've ever considered? What's the biggest, scariest thing you've ever wanted to do?" And then I say, "Double down on that." Because you don't need to believe God for more if all you have are puny little dreams and small ambitions. But you double that, rascal, now you're going to need God. See, here's what we instinctively do. We dream small. We dream possible. We dream safe. We just stay in our lane. We dream what we can accomplish without the intervention of God. We dream what we can do without much growth, without much imagination, and without much faith. But when you double your dream, you're stepping closer to your destiny, and God always intended that your destiny would be bigger than you alone. So my friend, for God's sake, get out of your predictable lane. Move away from what is merely expected of you. Move away from the choices you made because those choices were simply the safest play. Defy expectation. Attempt something great. Jesus defied what was expected of him, and he changed the world. What if God put something in you that most people would be terrified to do and critics would try to talk you out of it? If you had an audacious belief, what would it be? Double it. Sometimes you have to defy the common in order to become uncommon. I mean, Taylor Swift had a pretty good thing going on in country music when she said, "I'm going to change lanes. I'm going to go to pop." I think she did all right. Largest streaming country album this morning, Beyonce. Get back in your lane. Think she's going to do all right. Surprise people by the risks you take, by the adventures you pursue. Don't let other people put limitations on you, and don't you put limitations on you. You're more than just one lane. You're more than small, safe dreams. You're made for more. You're made for more. What are you doing that requires more belief? What are you attempting that if God doesn't show up, you're going to fail? You know what's interesting? We're not born like this. Children don't have limiting beliefs. They don't have small-mindedness. They don't have these mental constraints. Not when they're little. You give a kid a towel, she wraps it around her neck, she is superwoman with a cape. You give a kid a big cardboard box, he's ready to defend that fortress from every dragon that's in that room. But you give that same kid a few years, and his grandiose faith has been chipped away. Now he'll say, but last time I tried that, I failed. Or he listened to voices that are now in his world saying, you can't, you shouldn't, you're not good at math, you're not good at art, you're not good at sports, you're not good at, and it chips away till somebody gets to be my age, and they don't try anything new. And God looked down at a planet of colorless dreamers and safe players. And he said, I got to do something. So in the first century, an unknown man of 30 years old began to teach in a way unlike anybody before him. And he made claims. He made claims about who he was and what he had come to earth to accomplish. And his claims were so outrageous, the authorities killed him for it. And that was on a Friday. But on Sunday morning, same weekend, once again defying the norm, once again defying the odds, once again doing the unexpected, Jesus rose from the dead, and that changed everything. And that power, that life of defying limitations, that life of defying the odds, that powerful life now resides in you. Don't let your doubts determine your destiny. Allow your belief to take you to a level of life you never knew was possible for you. See, you're standing on the edge right now. At the deep end. And your destiny's right there in the pool. And your heavenly Father is there with arms outstretched. And he says, you can do it. You can do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Jump. Jump. I'll catch you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. You better be jumping. It's your life. It's your one and only life. You better be jumping. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus and the resurrection power that brought him back to life, sealing forever the proof of his identity and his power to forgive sins and establish for us a home in heaven. We're thankful for that eternally. And in the meantime, that power can help us live every day at a higher level. Help us to reach our highest and best God-given potential. God, forgive us if we don't, because the power is available if we will only believe you for more. And now we know we can ask you to help us believe for more. May every person in this room and watching online pray that prayer. God, help me believe you for more. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.